recently reelected and also vice chairman of the Senate Republican Conference, our friend Senator Barrasso, Wyoming, back with us on the Scott Hinton Show on the Common Sense Club. Senator, how you been?
I've been great. Thanks so much for having me, Scott. How are you?
Well, wonderful. I really am. We always love talking to a good Westerners from Wyoming because, you know, whether that's that North Dakota sort of Midwestern common sense, that Western common sense, it's something about the air out here. We've just got it figured out, don't we?
And I'm so proud of the people of North Dakota sending us John Hoeven, your governor. He's going to be a terrific addition to the Senate. You know, he and Mikey are great, and we're looking forward to them joining us.
You bet. Just talked to Mikey and John both last hour, as a matter of fact, and the truth of the matter is you need them, especially on this topic we're going to talk about. We just heard the top of the hour news report with President Obama lecturing his Democratic members of Congress that, hey, we're not going to get 100% of what we want here, and all these deep divisions. Really, the divisions is in, within the Democratic caucus, isn't it? I mean, these are the folks that just can't stand the idea of somebody keeping more of their hard-earned money and can't wait to raise taxes as a revenue generator come January, right?
Well, you've always had it right, Scott. You know, folks in Washington here, many of them think that it's their money. It's not. This money belongs to the people at home. And I think that the people there have the best ideas of what to spend, what to invest, what to save, and make those decisions. And, you know, I know in my home state of Wyoming, I trust them to make decisions about the money much better than I believe in Washington do it. And we have a balanced budget amendment to our Constitution. And in Wyoming, you got to live within your means, and Washington needs to do that. But this whole tax issue that the president's talking about, is, I think you don't raise taxes on anybody in the middle of economic times like this. And that's why the Democrats fell 7 votes short on Saturday, and you know we had 2 votes on Saturday, and both of those, the Democrats fell 7 votes short of what they would have needed to raise taxes on people come January 1st. And so I'm delighted that we were able to hold that off, and I think the best thing we can do for the economy is to provide certainty for small business owners, and that's where I think this administration has failed. I was on Fox News earlier today, and they asked me about the health care law. I said, you know, the president ignored the wishes of the American people. The American people wanted him to focus, Scott, on jobs, the economy, the debt, and spending, and instead he spent a year cramming a health care law down the throats of the American people that they didn't ask for, they didn't want, and they still want repealed. And that's, that's the fundamental difference. He put his own agenda in front of the agenda of what American people were concerned about.
Well, what is amazing is you'd think if there would be any way to sort of clear up the thinking a little bit, it would be a shellacking like they took in the election. But I'm amazed that one of the first major decisions after is to reverse course on what was already a little bit of a window dressing deal anyway. But the offshore drilling moratorium being extended is just, to me, extraordinary at a time when we need nothing more than jobs and a growing economy. They're flying right in the face of it. It tells me they're more concerned about their base and, the environmental extremists than they are about jobs.
Well, and I know you've talked about this before. The president, in his press conference the day after the election, he said that it wasn't his policies, it was just the way he communicated those policies that cost him the election. This was a fundamental statement, I thought, by the people of the country saying, you didn't focus on what we needed for you to focus on, which was job, the economy, the debt, and the spending. And as all the people in your listenership, and it's not just North Dakota, Minnesota, parts of South Dakota, Montana, the Great Plains, all know that our problem is not that we're taxed too little. The problem is we spend too much, and we got to live within our means. I'd like to see a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and until we get that, we're going to continue to have more and more spending issues being debated, and that's where we are right now. But, you know, January 1st is coming, Scott, and with it, everybody's taxes are going to go up until we get it right here in Washington, and we need to get it right and in the next couple of days before Congress adjourns for the end of this year, because the cavalry is on the way and the new members get sworn in the beginning of January.
Well, bring us inside this negotiation. I mean, from reports we're seeing, there appears to be a deal that somehow ties in unemployment benefits and an extension there, which, of course, the Democrats have been trying to say is actually a revenue generator. They I love that one. They say, hey, you know, leave the taxes, you know, let those go up come January. We'll revive the economy by giving people more government checks. This is a head-scratcher, but they obviously want it worse than anything. Is that going to be enough to get a permanent extension of the Bush tax cuts?
Well, the key word there is permanent, and I would like to see a permanent extension of the Bush tax cuts. I think that's what Mitch McConnell, Republican leader, would like to see as well. I think that's the kind of certainty that businesses need to go and make the investments that we need to start hiring more people. Because the real problem is the 9.8% unemployment. And helping people that are looking for work while they're looking for work, you can do it two ways. And I think we ought to do both. One is extend the benefits to help those folks, but it should be paid for. And we should. And Scott Brown from Massachusetts has a way to do that. I support his approach. But the more fundamental thing we need to do is to get the economy moving. That's the way to get unemployment down, let people find jobs. And the way to do that is to let the job-creating sector of our country, the small business owners, let them know that if they do create those jobs, they're not going to be punished with increased taxes immediately. They need some certainty. There was a White House conference with a number of business owners, and the president said, well, why aren't you hiring? And they ticked off a number of things, all of which were, interestingly enough, the president's agenda. You know, the small business owners saying, well, in terms of unions, we think that there should be a secret ballot. President doesn't think there should be a secret ballot. In terms of health care costs, the businesses are saying we have this expensive mandate. Well, the president does want that mandate, which he forced down the throats of the American taxpayers with a mandate for businesses to supply that insurance. They want people want reasonable energy costs, but the president's Environmental Protection Agency, with all of its rules and regulations and their thing called their endangerment finding, that's going to raise energy costs. So, and then this whole tax issue, which has not yet been finalized, voted on, and signed into law, that is still a level of uncertainty. So there's no surprise that the unemployment rate is 9.8% up again this past month from the month before, because there is so much uncertainty there. And I think that the way to solve it is to give people certainty.
Our guest is Senator John Barrasso from the great state of Wyoming. I'd call it one of my top five, if for no other reason it gave us the greatest vice president in the history of the United States of America. Of course, our good friend on the Common Sense Club, Vice President Dick Cheney, who is on the mend. I saw him actually at the groundbreaking for the Bush Center in Dallas, and great to see him up and around after a little tough bout there. So he's doing good, isn't he?
He is. I spent some time with him Wednesday and was with his daughter Liz yesterday, and I'll tell you, he is as sharp and focused as ever. It was wonderful to visit with he and his wife Lynn. You know, he's from Casper, Wyoming. I'm from Casper, Wyoming. And people of Wyoming are just thrilled that he's doing so well. We saw him on television at the groundbreaking for the Bush Library, and you know, I really got a kick out of his comment when he said, this is the only shovel-ready project in America. And he was absolutely right that it's well-deserved that library is coming, and it was good to see the vice president up and about.
It was the best line that brought the house down. It was absolutely hilarious. His wit is just extraordinary. It was a funny line, the best there, no question about it. Anyway, a couple of quick things. I know your time is short here, Senator, so I want to make sure we find out. So where do you think this negotiation is at? I mean, you mentioned just literally days left to be able to get it done, and early in, you know, I mean, you have the end of the month, the taxes go up. I mean, do you think there is a deal now? Is there a deal in place? And if so, I know you want permanent. If you can't get permanent, what's something you could live with in the way of an extension?
Well, we're sure working for a permanent extension for everyone. I think you shouldn't raise taxes on anyone during economic times like this. The question is, if it's temporary, how long is that? In terms of providing certainty to small businesses, I think the longer you can go out there, the better. You know, some people say, is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? If it is only 2 years, that puts that, as I'm sure you thought of this, Scott, that puts it right in the middle of the presidential election coming up in 2012. So, boy, if that's on the table in 2012, that may be helpful to those of us who think you shouldn't raise taxes. But, so it makes me think that some people may want to even go longer than that to take it off the table through the elections.
All right. So when will we know? How close do you think we're there before this is settled as far as the deal?
The Well, in terms of deals, I'm not comfortable till it's actually passed the House, passed the Senate, and signed by the president, because, as you know, there's a dozen different ways to for it to have trouble, any kind of legislative plan and decision. Harry Reid has announced on the floor of the Senate on Saturday, when we were here for a couple of votes, that his goal was to have us adjourned by the 17th of December, and then the new members come in the beginning of January. So that leaves you 11 days.
And last quick question I want to ask you about is, I mentioned this deficit reduction proposal that has been put forward by the folks. Right now we're looking at some significant change to the oil industry, obviously an important oil and gas, any drilling. Is important to Wyoming, just as it is to North Dakota, Senator. And I talked to Harold Hamm today, who's going to join us next hour, said, hey, 30% hit to their bottom line if what is currently proposed in this, you know, removal of intangible drilling costs comes to be. So he is very concerned about the damage that could do to the economy. Do you share that concern?
Well, I'm always concerned if anything is going to drive up energy costs, because we need energy security in this country, and that to me is American energy. And we do it in Wyoming in a very responsible way, as do you in North Dakota. The Wyoming remains a most beautiful place in the world, and we've been, you know, using energy, our energy resources for, you know, well over a century. So I think we can, through multiple use of the land, do it in a wise way, with environmental stewardship. We need economic growth, and the way you have economic growth is with energy prices lower. And you look at what China's doing. I think they're not doing a good job with their environment. They're obviously choosing energy and their economy over their environment. So we have to make sure we don't penalize ourselves as a nation and raise our energy costs, which will impact and hurt our economic growth.
Great to talk to you, Senator, as always, and look forward to a few more Republicans over in the Senate doing the good work of the Senate and being that saucer to slow things down a little bit, because certainly the agenda of the last 2 years has not been good for this country, for the economy, for our debt, and you got a big job ahead of you as a result of the damage that's been done in the Obama administration and since Democrats have taken control in 2006, and we'll pray you continue to take that task on.
Thanks, Scott.
Good to talk to you.